What's good, listeners? Good morning, and welcome to the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show. Good morning, Marissa. How's it going, fam?
Oh, my gosh. Fabulous. I am loving it. I cannot wait for the weekend to start.
You're always ready for the weekend, though.
Well, I just feel like I'm always on the go, 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 and Sunday's like my only morning off. And so I look forward to my Sundays.
You know, Twitter, they might want to recommend to you like, hey, you know, there's a tweet out there that you might want to check out. Well, This one actually came from Elon Musk, and I was quite surprised. This was at 4:50 a.m. this morning. So Elon Musk tweets, you might respect the penis, but do you honor the ball sack? I mean, it's pretty funny considering how, like, you know, we're going to kind of talk about it a little bit later in the show.
Did balls lick that morning? That's all I want to know. Is it like that? I'm like, instant, like, oh, my balls are getting licked right now. Dear people on Twitter, did you get yours?
Metallica dropped their new long anticipated record, starting off a new era of heavy metal, which is... Oh, it is super badass, Marissa. The new album is called 72 Seasons, and they will actually be playing two nights in Glendale, and Metallica won't be playing a single twice during the event. There actually will be a total of more than 30 songs both nights, but they will not repeat the same song. That is pretty freaking cool, and I also know Marissa.
Well, I would hope
the band,
not. They have so much material. Like, if you know what I mean?
Not too many artists like Metallica get the luxury to do what they do.
I think it's great. And I wish I had enough money to go to both nights, let alone one.
that's kind of how I felt when they got the residency at Jimmy Kimmel all this week to be performing live. I thought that was super cool. And also, the band debuted a new video this morning called Sleepwalk My Life Away. That is off their brand new album, 72 Seasons. But I want to let you guys know that you're tuning into the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show. Make sure you like and subscribe so you never miss a live show. And we got a great show for everybody that's tuning in, because our guest joining us for Just Talking is Bonnie Brodeur. She is the director and creator of her film Influencer, which takes a deep dive talking with top techs and media CEOs, including the rising stars in the world that Marissa and I are trying to put our feet inside the door. So I think that is a really, really cool thing. And she's also the CEO and founder of Binge Network, and we will talk about that as well. And also check out my brand new Off the Fret, More Music Talk podcast with Amanda Cooksey. She is a Nashville country star. She is such an amazing soul. And I also have an exclusive clip of a new episode that's going to be dropping next week, and that is with indie rock band all the way out in Brooklyn, New York, and they are called Weekly. But guys, stick around right now, because we have more left on the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show. So let's get it, fam. Hey, what's good, listeners? Ever wonder how a generation of millennials made millions of dollars with an iPhone just following their passion? Well, joining us on Just Talking is the CEO of Binge Network and director of Influencer. Bonnie Brodeur is with us live on the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show. How's it going, fam?
Hi, guys. I'm leaving for France in the morning. Now I'm worried. I'm not
okay. Don't become someone's side piece to a side piece.
You don't want to walk away with the Frenchie in your life?
Hey,
what's up?
I said you don't want to walk away with the Frenchie in your life?
I mean, not if they have a side piece and a side piece and a side piece.
I have to say, Bonnie, my favorite fling I've ever had in my life was a French man. When I was in Paris, straight up, it was Paris. He was hot. He was Portuguese, who spoke French. Oh, my God. It was all that and a bag of chips. So go have fun.
Well, since we are talking about dating right now, is fizzling an old age tactic, Bonnie? Has it been around for centuries?
I mean, I'm definitely guilty of the fizz. That is my strategy. So, but I'm legitimately busy. Like, so that, I mean, yes, but you're right. It's better to be honest.
It's women empowerment. I think that's really what it is after all. But hey, we're not here to be talking about breaking tactics.
No, it's not women empowerment. It's because guys can't take a damn hint, right? And they keep calling you. They keep texting you, right? And they just can't take a hint. You're trying to be nice. So it's not women empowerment. It's men take the cue, dude. Take the cue.
take the cue. All right. If I'm not going to reach you via text, then don't even try to email me. But hey, we're not here to be talking about breakup tactics. We are here to talk about Bonnie's latest film, which is called Influencer. And we want to let the people know what's good. And we have a teaser trailer right now for Influencer. So, Marissa, let's go ahead and roll the clip.
Advertising is changing, programming's changing, everything is changing. The one thing you need to know, it will change.
Authenticity rules. Advertising is going to be about authenticity.
What we've learned is that sharing is very specific to the vertical.
Digital will become the number one space when you want to get your message across.
When ads are prompted at the right time for with the right content for you, is the best thing that you can have.
Influencers are essentially people that are sharing information, they're trusted sources.
Not only is it for brands and businesses, but it's people as the influencer.
I think this year was the first year that digital is now exceeding traditional advertising models.
Advertising is everything. Without advertising, a product can die like that. Mm-hmm.
And Bonnie, what motivated you to create a film taking an inside look at the digital revolution?
So interestingly, at the time, I had a cable TV show in New York City, and I had about 20, just so happened to be women, we're all for the women's empowerment, girls and younger women that worked for me. And I would watch them prior to the show starting, and they would flip on their Snapchat, their Instagram, and do the, whether it was the makeup artist or one of the producers, and they would have so many followers and so many comments and so many people engaging with them. And here we were on cable television, which was supposed to be all the rage. So I just became uber fascinated about the industry, about the power, about how it all worked, and started doing research, and eventually realized there was, you know, a very strong story that needed to be told of how we came to get to this point where really anybody can become an influencer or become somebody that creates a following.
And what insights or surprises did you gain from interviewing the top tech and media CEOs to rising stars in the scene?
So a couple of things. I mean, from the perspective of social media and what it did in really leveling the playing field, I mean, it all of a sudden introduced this opportunity for really anybody to open the door to celebrity. You know, if you had a strong message, if you could create great content, before you were required to be, you know, cast in a show or be a host of a TV show or on the news. And now it really leveled that playing field so anybody could do it. That was the first thing of really understanding how that happened and, you know, the decade of companies like Google, like Bing, like the sharing economy, all playing a part in that. The second thing was really the seriousness that the influencers put into their brand and how much work it was and how it really opened them up to, you know, 24/7 vulnerability. We had, you know, a couple of the influencers that were cast in that show were talking about how, you know, previously if you wore something on an interview or you got to school and somebody didn't like your sweater, you just had to deal with it. Someone probably wouldn't even tell you to your face, but to social media, people will say things that they won't, and they can be anonymous as well. And it can be very harsh and very hurtful.
Yeah, doesn't that sound quite familiar to the reports all this week with Ariana Grande having to address her body image?
And oh my God.
She was getting off antidepressants. I mean,
yeah. And I loved, like, I watched her, you know, after speaking with you the other day, I watched her speak about that. And she talked, it's so cute because she's like, I'm not good at this. I don't do this often. Here's this massive uber celebrity. And this person that then has to, you know, come out there and say, like, that was the worst point in my life. I was on antidepressants. I was drinking on them. I was unhealthy. I wasn't eating well. But yet, anybody and everybody can comment on what they think is healthy or perfect or amazing. And God, I mean, I just, as a human being, do you want people following you around? And when you gain 5 pounds, 10
Well, I mean, I guess that's what comes with being an influencer.
Well, and that's
right?
one of the problems with it too. If you think about when she talked about, here she is, her life is out there as a celebrity, but the parts that were the demon side, the bad side, the hurtful, she had to hide. She had to hide it. She had to try to protect herself because the comments were so bad, until finally she's like, look, enough is enough. This is hurting. This is damaging. And we see this over and over. Selena Gomez, we see this over and over. The beast of being an influencer, the beast of being social media, right, is the hurtful comments people think they can just do because I'm never going to see you face to face.
And have you found that, you know, being an influencer or being in advertising is a 24/7 gig? Like, there is no days off?
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely is. So there's two sides to it, right? There's the Ariana Grande's. There's the everyday person that makes themselves vulnerable to that public scrutiny because they become an influencer. But then there's the other side. There's the rest of us that are watching that, you know? And I know, like, I'm a mom of small children. We joke about this. It's like you see somebody else is at the park. You're like, should I be at the park right now? Like, you're comparing, you know, or someone gets to go to the grocery store alone. You're like, God, why do I have to go?
I really hope that's not the case, because if you're seeing a kid like eating a Tide Pod, I hope that your daughter or your son doesn't follow along, right?
No, but I think what she's saying is also, as a mom, I get it. Like, I just renewed the Knott's Berry Farm tickets because all my friends are taking their kids to Knott's. And I was like, oh, I'm depriving my kid. You know what I mean? I want to make sure I also go out there.
And that's everyday person example, right? Mm-hmm. I also work. I also have a life. I have, you know, all of these things that you're constantly comparing yourself to 24/7 is not even an influencer. Like, I take social breaks for months at a time. And it's funny, you'll start to get texts. Is everything okay? Are you okay? Are the kids okay? You know, and you're like, no, I just need a minute. Because there is so much that goes into not only just consuming that media, there's the creation side and what that person is responsible for and what they're dealing with. And then there's just the consumer side. And I don't think that we're, as human beings, I know we're not capable of processing all of that and managing all of that on a daily basis.
So. And you know, Bonnie, you bring that up too in your documentary, the one point in it that like I really just honed in on, and it was almost halfway through, and you had the CEO Olivia June on there, and she made this comment, the more you're an influencer, the more you're on social media, the less real life connections you have.
It's so true. I mean, because you have to be so worried about what all of these strangers care about and think about and responding to them in real time. And if you don't, you're going to get criticized more. And that really, you know, you can't simultaneously be having real deep connected relationships, in my opinion, and in science's opinion. So I think that that's what a lot of the troubles that we're seeing today in society and a lot of the things that are happening stem from that. Mm-hmm. We're really feeling that crunch right now. You know, over the year, after years and years of living this way, it's like, it's just not possible.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people I have spoken to that say they were happiest during lockdown in COVID because there was no comparison. There was nobody doing anything. So there was nothing to feel bad about.
I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, I was so happy.
I my daughter. I was a little stressed about my bills. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But yeah. I was like, I took a breath and I was like, oh, you know what? I need to slow down in life.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
No, I mean, it's definitely a real thing. And I know Bonnie, the movie poster for your film Influencer, showcases a massive hashtag icon that includes, you know, screenshots of people online. And how have brand and influencers leveraged hashtags to build their audience on social media?
Yeah. Yeah. The poster is actually a mosaic of everybody that appeared in the film. And it's true. It's like you're connecting with these people that you wouldn't normally cross with in any semblance of life. So it just really, again, opens you up to all of these audiences, all of these people, all of these opinions. And I don't know, as a human being, that we're really supposed to be having that much input.
Oh, I like that idea about that, about how much are we supposed to even share or come forward with. What do you feel like? I know that, you know, when you made your documentary, TikTok wasn't something that was necessarily a big thing yet. It was all the YouTube, the Facebook. What do you feel about Congress coming in and trying to step in on TikTok and limiting that platform? Oh, did we lose Bonnie too?
I think we did lose Bonnie. I think there was a weird connection on our end when it comes to Restream. Oh, yeah, she's back on.
Yeah,
we all had a little bit of an internet connection issue when it came to Restream, but we're back. But hey, let me set the tone for everybody, because we were talking about how influencers have been leveraging hashtags to their benefit. But, you know, we are talking about the rising stars, but I'm kind of curious on when it comes to the top tech and the media CEOs. When they're evaluating these influencers, do they believe that they have more sway and popularity than traditional celebrities and media and television?
So it's really interesting, because all of those interviews were conducted a couple of years ago. And I think that was really the precipice of the turn of that. So I would say back then, and their answer is probably no. Whereas today, yes, I think people have really realized that if you have a brand, if you have a concept, a book, anything that you're launching that you're trying to get out there, that there's a lot of people that can be very impactful for your brand. I mean, we all know like what a bad Google review can do. And on the flip side of that, what a great influencer can do for your company, for your brand, for your following. And it is, it's kind of scary because, you know, you previously you would have a brand and you would have somebody that is a representative of that brand speaking about that. But now it really is the wild, wild west, whereas everybody can have an opinion. Everybody can have, you know, a good experience, a bad experience, like your product, don't like your product. So it really, that part, I guess, you know, it's part of leveling the playing mm-hmm. field, but it can be very, very challenging when you're putting something out there because the power shift has happened.
And you address in your documentary, you address about the authenticity of an influencer when they mm-hmm. they put a product out there. Because yeah. I actually trust an influencer more than I will a celebrity talking about it. Because I already know the celebrity is getting paid a bunch. Like, I already know it, right? And, like, I have a woman that I follow. She is in the gym. She's always cutest, like, clothes and stuff like that. And she's like, check out this one. This is a good brand. It does this. Here it has. And I trust her versus just an ad.
Yeah. And it's finding people that are like you. You know, if I turn on an Instagram and there's a different product every single day, I'm probably not going to listen to that person because it's diluted. Their opinion, their, you know, clout is diluted. Whereas what I found in the movie with the influencers we interviewed, they were very passionate. They had turned down brand deals if they didn't believe in the brand, if they didn't believe, you know, a very obvious was animal testing. If somebody mm-hmm. had a product and they didn't believe that the way it was tested or the way it was marketed, they would turn that down. And I think that's really important, you know, to know there's the influencer that's just in it for the money. And there's somebody that is really passionate about it and is creating their brand and doing things that they believe in and getting people to follow them that they feel are aligned with their values.
But Bonnie, how do you see the role of hashtags changing in the future? Do you believe that there will be a new search engine that will, you know, take out hashtags?
It's such a hard question. I like to not have to comment on things about social media because they change literally by the day. So sure, I think that will be possible. I mean, just in the day since this movie was started until it was finished, they've required the hashtag ad. You know, so things are changing and constantly happening literally on a daily basis. I think what's more, I guess, scary or like should be in front of everyone's mind is what's happening in general in social media. You know, we're talking about, I just listened to the Senate hearings a couple weeks ago and it was like a telenovela. Like it was the most interesting thing I'd ever heard with the CEO of TikTok being interviewed yeah. and talking about banning that. And then, you know, there's all this chaos with Twitter and there's censorship going on. I think that is really scary from a social.
Yeah. And I think that's actually a very great point that you're bringing up, Bonnie. And I actually have a clip of TikTok CEO having a video message to all the users before he addressed the Senate hearing. So I'm going to go ahead and click that right now.
Hey everyone, it's Sho here. I'm the CEO of TikTok. I'm here in Washington, D.C. today, and I have some news and updates to share with everyone here. Today, I'm super excited to announce that more than 150 million Americans are on TikTok. That's almost half of the U.S. coming to TikTok to connect, to create, to share, to learn, or just to have some fun. This includes 5 million businesses that use TikTok to reach their customers. And the majority of these are small and medium businesses. Now, these numbers are amazing. And I'm so thankful to all of you and the 7,000 TikTok employees in the US.
And that's pretty wild considering how, you know, the Biden administration opposes TikTok. They oppose the company, Chinese, Beijing-based ByteDance, and they would like to see it sell at stake. If not, it's going to risk a potential nationwide ban. Don't you think that there's other ways we can handle this moving forward without the risk associated with a nationwide ban?
I don't know. I mean, I listened pretty deep into those hearings. It's very tricky. The answer is it's very tricky. There's a lot of gray area. There was a lot of untruths, like even in that video that was just put out. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. So I don't think it's a very quick yes or no answer. I would say it's a very complicated issue as far as data storage, sharing, all of that. But I also think, moreover, it's just another one of those examples where, you know, people, TikTok wasn't around just a few years ago. And then people said, oh, check this out. And it shares virally. Let's just say hypothetically, they did want to use it as a spying tool. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. There, it went like wildfire. And so those are the
things they have used that as spying tool. They have used it. That's why the hearings are there. Yeah. My firm thing is, there needs to be blockades in there. We need to make sure it's not a spying tool, but I'm totally against a nationwide ban. I mean, that for me,
But this is such a fascinating conversation both of you guys are bringing up, because with the emergence of like new social media platforms like Truth Social, Rumble, and Mastodon.
I like Be Real. I'm all about the Be Real lifestyle. Yeah,
but Marissa, let me get to my point though, because again, you know, we have three social media companies, Truth Social, Rumble, and Mastodon. So like, how do advertisers, prioritize, you know, which social media platform to go to when they want to bring their campaigns?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really about message to market match, right? Whatever they're trying to reach, where is that viewer on social? And it might be a blend of a couple. It might be Snapchat, TikTok, Facebook, or it might be Insta, YouTube. I think that's what's so interesting about advertising today and about AI and all of the things that are playing into it is it just isn't, you know, you don't just do some data research and then decide we're going to put a billboard on the side of the freeway. It's a very complex matrix of how you use the people. But then moreover, how are you communicating with those people on that platform?
Yeah,
that's what's really important to the end viewer. I don't want to see something that on my Instagram that I know was made for TikTok or was made for YouTube because it feels like they don't care. It goes back to that authenticity that we talked about in the movie. It's like, that person doesn't know me. They're just putting someone out there to try to reach everybody.
I have to admit, I can't stand, even as like a personal sharing, if someone shares it on their Instagram, this is back when it was tied to Twitter too. So it was the same post, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It was like all the same posts. I'm like, well, where are you really on? What audience are you talking to? Right. So I have people on Facebook that I don't have on Instagram and people on Twitter that I don't have, and so on.
Yeah. It's definitely a real thing. But I mean, everybody's trying to tackle, what media content should be allowed on, the platforms or not. I mean, and also there are concerns about what minors, 18 or younger see online. And there's actually a new California bill that will hold social media companies liable for designing platforms that addict young people and expose them to harmful information. So as you see here, child develops an eating disorder. I mean, how do you even prove that in court? I mean, should we start holding social media companies accountable like we do with tobacco companies?
I believe yes. I mean, I do think social media in a way will become the new cigarette of its day at some point. I think we're starting to see that now. We're starting to see cases. We're starting to see, Facebook under fire, this TikTok issue. I think they're really going to realize how damaging this is. I think it will evolve and change. I don't think it will go away. I mean, as a mother, I kind of hope it does, because it's scary to think about what you have to now put boundaries around for your children. But I really think it will sort of, it can't continue the way that it is.
That's interesting that you say that, Bonnie, because, free speech has been like the central issue in debates over, the potential nationwide ban. We also saw last year that Elon Musk reversed the permanent ban of a then sitting president, Donald Trump, sitting president. So that's pretty wild. I mean, so how do you see this decision impacting the way, public figures use social media to communicate with their followers?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen this sadly in the last election and what happened on January 6th and all of the things that were inspired by social media. I don't think we can continue that way. We've seen the demise and we've seen what happens at the end of the day. I think that we're going to start to see a lot more regulations around it. Sadly, it isn't necessarily freedom of speech anymore because, as you just pointed out, I mean, accounts can get turned off and probably for good reason in some cases, or definitely for good reason in some cases. We just saw the Discord issue. It's happening today. There's the trial.
Yes, very true.
Things like that are happening. And it's just a matter of time before that starts to become commonplace. And so, depending obviously what happens and what the punishment is there. But I think that at some point that freedom of speech is going to lessen just for safety concerns. You can't have this mechanism where, again, all of a sudden, before we used to get our news from the 5 o'clock person telling, you know, Walter Cronkite yes. all day telling us.
And, that, yeah.
and this is actually a great transition because I wanted to talk about, you know, you being the CEO and founder of Binge Network. And when did you notice the demand for syndication in the smart TV world?
So about 7 years ago, when I was on cable and I literally wasn't getting bombarded, all of my, like the makeup artists, the people working on the show, people, oh, I follow you on Insta. No one was coming up to me on the subway saying, I watch your cable show. And so we started looking into smart TV and getting distribution elsewhere. And then we had a traditional film agent for actually influencer for a couple of years and really it did nothing. And so we realized there's a huge opportunity to disrupt the way distribution is done and licensing is done. And, you know, over the past 7 years, we've seen a tremendous switch in the industry where cable's being, you know, kind of cable.
The scapegoat. No, I mean, it's so true. I mean, long are the days of bunny ear and antennas on the television. I mean, Binge Network syndicates over 50 plus OTT television networks. I mean, what in the world does OTT mean for the listener who has no idea?
Yeah, it's actually over 300 now. So we're on
TV
platforms.
OTT, I can't even name over 50, let alone 300. So yes, please explain what OTT is.
I could, but we're going to have to extend the show today. So essentially OTT, we're all doing it anyway. It's watching TV through internet versus cable. So if you're watching Netflix, when you're watching Netflix, when you're watching Hulu, when you're watching CNN on your phone or Fox or whatever you watch, that is OTT. It's also called connected device TV, streaming. There's a lot of different terms for it, but essentially it's accessing television through internet. So that's really the world that we play in. And it all sort of started off of the first show. And then once we got into it and started, we manage over 25,000 films and television shows that we distribute on all of those platforms. And we work with all the top distributors like Amazon Prime, Hulu, you know, everything that you've heard of, Pluto, Netflix. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a huge... With COVID even, just the viewing behavior went up 10x. And so there's a huge opportunity for content creators to be having their content there versus just social media. We love social, obviously, and we think that it should be done and continued. And also there's a huge opportunity in the streaming world.
Yeah, because like what are the advantages of having content creators, you know, distributed on smart TVs to 300 plus OTTs? Because I'm assuming it's not just United States-based, you know, streaming companies, it would be abroad, correct?
Yes. Yeah, global. So we, the benefit really is twofold. Number one, you're diversifying your audience because we have seen things, you know, TikTok's on the fringe, but we have seen creators or influencers that put all their eggs in a basket and then all of a sudden they wake up and Vine is gone or another social platform is gone. And so we really believe in diversifying. And the other thing is really that there's such a large audience when you're going into the echelon of television. For example, we work with Roku. They have about 50 million subscribers. So you're putting your show in a base that already has a tremendous amount in the tens of millions and sometimes hundreds of millions of viewers. So it just really, you know, takes you into a different audience. And then, of course, there's the monetization side. All of those networks are generally an ad-based revenue. There's very few that are subscription. Hulu and Netflix are subscription. But most we work with are what's called AVOD, advertising-based. And so you're generating revenue. Every time somebody watches your show, there's a pre, post, and mid-roll ad, and those generate revenue throughout. So,
and very cool, Bonnie. And I just want to ask you really quickly, I mean, is there any kind of a sleeper for streaming companies, unlike, you know, Roku, you know, Amazon Fire TV or Google Play, that's like, wow, you know, content creators should really look for this?
So, I mean, Tubi is the main one, if you're not familiar with, that people should be watching. They made a big splash on the scene during the Super Bowl this year. They had a great ad there.
Yeah, the pause.
That was hysterical.
They're free.
That was funny.
So Tubi is a great one. It has a very diverse catalog, a very large catalog. You can watch it for free. There's films, there's TV shows. We work a lot with Tubi. We have about, I don't even know, thousands of our shows on Tubi. And then there's also a lot of obscure ones that from a content creator's perspective generate a lot of revenue.
Very cool, Bonnie. And I want to thank you again for joining the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show. And are there any plans in the coming months?
Plans? Well, tomorrow I'm leaving for France for MIC, which is the big television film industry event. So I'm very excited for that. I haven't been anywhere since COVID because I've had two newborns since COVID started.
Well, congratulations.
Very cool.
Yes, please. Safe travels.
Yeah,
yes, and safe travels, Bonnie. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no. And then in May, we're doing our first big family vacation in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, I love the Dominican. I've been on vacation. It is so much fun. You are going to have a blast.
Good. Can't wait.
Yes, and Bonnie, thank you so much again for joining the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
Thanks.
This is coming from 1,000 miles away. Dad had no idea that his Navy lieutenant son was standing right behind him in this beautiful reaction video.
Wait a minute, who's here? Scooter. Patrick. I miss you so much, Patrick. It's been 1,000 years, but I thought it was you. You're so busy, Patrick. Is it amazing? So happy to see you.
Yeah, that is such a beautiful moment. I know there were some very awesome and lively comments that were circulating across the globe, and one of them said, I love how affectionate they are. And yes, that is so true. Another comment said, the father is so overcome with emotion, he can barely speak. I love videos of soldiers surprising family members, and yes, we do too. And also, is anyone questioning why he's eating avocado and raisins? Yes, the very thoughtful comments that come with what's good videos. Yeah, I agree. That is a little strange. I mean, avocados and raisins. Okay, you got it. But hey, we want to thank our amazing guests for joining us on Just Talking. That is Bonnie Brodeur. She is the CEO and founder of Binge Network. She also has her latest film, Influencer, out on Tubi. So go ahead and check that out. And make sure you like and subscribe and so you never miss a live show. And also want to let you guys know, I am definitely going to be dropping our Off the Fret, More Music Talk podcast with Wakely next Friday after the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show. And for everybody that is joining us every Friday, make sure you go to thechriscollinsshow.com and become a video member today so you never miss a live show. For now, enjoy the weekend, fam, and we will see you next week. Peace. I wish you were here spending. What's good? It's Chris from The Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show, featuring Nashville singer-songwriter Amanda Cooksey, known for her breakup songs, crop tops, and TikTok covers, is a refreshing new voice in country music. Joins Off the Fret. More music, more music talk. What's good, party people? Chris Collins Show presents Music Storm 2022, hosted by Chris Collins and Marissa Pitts, featuring Royals, there's got to be a better way. Hurricane I Highway, Cannibal Kids, Amanda Cooksey, Astoria State, Kid Dad, Resounding, Sleep Cycles, Avenues, Freckles, Weather Worn, Just True, Sophia Marie, Music Storm 2022. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Our brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
I love it. It's more time to chat.
Hello.
You look so jazzy.
I love your outfit.
How far would you go to start playing live music again?
This slaps harder than my ex when she got her stimulus check. So,
Are you here to bring the sexual healing with your music? Everything is Everything, and I guarantee you're going to hear this song in the future. I love the flow, man. Politically charged album. So if you get easily offended, this might not be the album for you. Brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
So excited.
Has Kim Kardashian accidentally sent you a coochie shot?
Do you want to stay there? It's completely your choice. Or you want to...
I feel you. And you know what? I love it. Off the Fret. More music, more music talk. Peace.